Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling...
Hold on. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Welcome to Going In Raw, episode 200.
Oh, that's right. Yay!
Time to celebrate.
Woo! Whoa, you just got that on my laptop.
Sorry,
that
laptop.
Just ruined the 200th episode of Going In Raw, which you can find right here at youtube.com/Stephen Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available. And be sure, whether on YouTube or on the podcast app, on iOS or wherever you are, hit the subscribe button, especially in YouTube's case, because they unsub people left and right. So be sure you're subscribed to the Going In Raw channel.
Yes.
And we're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/Stephen Larson, where you can subscribe and kick in money to the show. And in return, you get stuff like a postcard or access to a live stream, which is not happening this week.
Because we're not in your office.
That's right.
And maybe we'll do it for Dirt Sheet. We'll think of something.
Oh, yeah. We might be able to do it for Dirt Sheet. Although I kind of want to do everything remotely for the rest of the week.
Well, I don't know if we can do everything remotely.
We'll talk about it.
You're that sick of me, huh?
I think we can. I think we'll be fine doing remotely for a week. And we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where right now we have five amazing designs and... I mean, there's a sale going. No, that sale ended today.
Sale's over.
Sale's done with. So no more sale. Maybe
no more sale. No sale.
But we do have five really good designs there.
More to come soon. Before we start, I think I want to take an opportunity to say something.
No.
So despite the fact that we are extremely tired, and in Steve's case, I feel like sick of me.
No.
That's why you do everything remotely.
hold on a second. Before you continue.
What?
There is a thing about YouTubers burning out.
Oh, I know.
And I
know.
Want to ensure we don't do that. And I think if we took on a lighter schedule for the rest of the week, that would be really good for us.
It really
not burning
it
out.
Really wouldn't be a lighter schedule. We'll still do the same number of videos. You're just saving me the trip to your house, essentially, is all it is.
Yeah, I think it'd be fine. But anyways, continue.
Anyways.
What are you going to say?
So, despite the fact that we're super tired right now, it's been an incredible weekend.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And it would not be possible at all
yeah.
without the support of everybody who watches this show and
Absolutely.
Listens to this show, all yeah. the friendos. And I just want to take this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We said it to everyone we've met since you've been here. Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you very much. Thank you very much for watching this show, for listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because without all of you, we wouldn't be here right now.
Yes, this is true.
We would have live streamed WrestleMania yesterday instead of going and offering you coverage live there. We got a vlog coming up. You know, detailing our travels, the experience of being at these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's 200th episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably, in terms of wrestling, the greatest wrestling weekend we've ever had.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So I just want to tell everybody thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, a year and a half ago, you know, we thought we were going to have to get real jobs.
There was that possibility, yes.
And, again, thanks to the support
mm-hmm.
of everybody who watched the show. We get to talk about wrestling for a living.
I know. It's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
I know. I hope that you guys, sort of, what we tried to do this weekend is give you guys like a glimpse into what it's like to be a fan who is able to do one of these things, because not everybody's able to, you know, go to WrestleMania and experience all these. According to Dave Meltzer, there was 38 live shows over the course of this weekend, or since like Thursday or whatever.
Yeah.
And we went to five of them. So there was 33 we did not go to. That's insane. That's crazy. And for us to get to go, and then sort of in this video log that I'm going to be putting up later on this week, we hope that you'll get to sort of get kind of a glimpse into what it's like, and if that's the case, then I kind of hope that we've done our job.
Yeah, like, the madness, the excitement.
Yeah, the exhaustion.
The exhaustion, the spectacle.
I'm a lot less tired now than I was last night, probably because we podcast like at 2 o'clock last night.
Yeah, we started really late last
and
night,
I was
or this morning.
Fucking done. I told you, I said, you know what, WrestleMania is great and everything. It's a wonderful spectacle. Next time, you do what you want. I am going to Uber after the pre-show. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm not taking in the pre-show. That is not happening.
I'm going to do it all.
You do whatever you want to do. I'm not
Give me the green
shit.
Light. I'm ready to go.
Shut up, please.
So anyways, thank you very much, everybody who watches the show, who supports the show,
yeah.
who came and said hi to us while we've been here.
Oh, it's crazy. Everybody's been so nice.
Everybody's been fantastic.
Yeah, everybody's been really, really nice.
Everybody's been super nice. Met a lot of really cool people.
Mm-hmm.
Had opportunity to talk to a lot of you.
Keith.
Dominic.
Ryan, who was wearing our Going in Raw shirt on the episode of Raw that we just came back from.
Yes.
And he was on the TV from that.
We met Wale.
Wale, yeah, the rapper Wale. He bought us some beers.
He did.
And said he was a fan of ours.
We had a fantastic time at the Internet Darlings
mm-hmm.
panel.
Oh, man, we met a lot. Nicole Ninevolt was there.
Yes, and we met some of our fellow YouTubers that we hadn't met yet.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Craig Toulis. We met Craig
Toulis. Yeah, Craig Toulis.
We met Craig Toulis.
Met a lot of great people.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun. Screamed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Not at each other.
Yeah.
Great weekend. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And yeah, thanks again to Brian Zane.
Yes.
Wrestling with Regret, because if it wasn't for him, I don't know. We probably would have, just because things on the channel started to get to pick up quite a bit well in advance of us needing to make arrangements. But being on the Internet Darlings live show and all the bullshit that he went through to put that on, and thank God, you know, he was able to get through it and,
mm-hmm.
and put on a really, really solid
yeah.
show for
yeah.
everybody. You know, the fact that he invited us out to do it really spurred us to think, hey, do we want to start doing it? Do we want to go to WrestleMania? You know, like that was yeah. kind of the impetus to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
So big thanks to Brian Zane,
yes.
just
yes.
an all around great guy. And yeah, like you said, it's been a fantastic week. Yeah, it's really good. Let's talk about Beach Ball Mania.
First, let's talk about our shirts. Since we tied in our WrestleMania predictions, we just thought, rather than neither of us wearing shirts, we spent money on them.
Oh, you got the losing end of this.
I did.
This is soft.
No, I know.
This is like literally like one of the most comfortable WWE shirts I've had, and it's TJ Perkins.
So we're wearing the shirts that we bought for each other as punishment.
Yes, correct.
That's yeah. what we're doing right now.
We did not wear these to Raw.
Nope.
Speaking of Raw, let's talk about Raw after WrestleMania.
Yes.
In a nutshell, what a fucking fantastic show.
Really fun show. 3 hours that more or less flew by.
Yeah, it really did. I was like stunned. Like right before the Jinder Mahal Sami Zayn match, I looked at my thing. I was like, oh my God. Like,
it was like 10:30.
Basically done almost. So to kick off, we had one dark match. We had Titus O'Neil versus...
We had two. We had Akira Tozawa against...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
And then we had Titus versus Curtis Axel. That was shot for main event.
Yeah. We were only about 10 rows back?
Seven.
Seven, yeah.
We were in the seventh row.
Yeah. Man, good job you getting us awesome seats. Because those were they were fantastic seats. They were amazing. Coolest thing about it too is that the bathroom was never crowded.
I know.
I went several times and the bathroom was never crowded. I don't know. It's a small thing. I'm telling you about the experiences that we had.
Well, that's an important aspect of
it. It is very important. I'm not huge on Amway Center though. What is with the no concessions on the first or second floors? That's bollocks, man.
That's just not what we're used to.
Golden One, are we just all of a sudden spoiled by Golden One Center? You walk in and immediately you're accosted by amazing food?
Well, maybe this is the thing, though. Typically, I would suspect when there's a basketball game there or a hockey game, I think they have a hockey team in Orlando, not NHL, but a lower level one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when you go to your seat, you don't go from the floor, you take the escalator up and go down from there.
Yeah, it can be.
Because that's how a lot of arenas are. And because we were fortunate enough to get floor seats, they opened up that pathway.
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem like an avenue, a thoroughfare that was often used.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
So that might be why.
Yeah.
Typically, people go up the escalators in the concourse and then from there down to their seats.
It's a crap. So anyways, we got two dark matches. We got, like you said, TJ Perkins, Drew Gulak and Akira Tozawa. this was basically something you'd see on 205 Live.
Yeah.
We got for main event taping, we got Titus O'Neil versus
Curtis Axel. Yes.
Baby Perfect. Titus O'Neil went over. He was playing up the heel role.
Yes.
In this particular match.
And Curtis Axel got a very warm reception.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was from the crowd. Yeah, he was playing it up. This is not going to include the Raw commentary beyond what we heard. Like, we have no idea what people said beyond Corey Graves using the line that they've used for a couple years now. This is a crazy show. The people are going to boo for things they normally cheer.
Let's get to that right now, because the show opened up with a montage of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Culminating... Well, no, the one that actually kicked off the show was all about Reigns and Undertaker.
Correct.
And so they come back to the live crowd, and everybody starts chanting, Undertaker. And it felt like it went on for a few minutes.
I swear to God, it was like 5 minutes, dude.
Yeah, it felt that way. Those chants of Undertaker kind of gradually segued into Roman sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And while they were still chanting Undertaker, I leaned over to you and I said, they're going to wait till these are at their peak. They're going to hit Roman Reigns' music, and he's going to come out.
Yeah.
They wait a little bit longer. They wait till the Roman sucks chant started.
Yeah.
Then they hit Roman's music. He comes out. And what felt like at least 7 or 8 minutes, there's this back and forth where he had the mic in his hand. He put it to his mouth. The crowd would boo and then chant something along the lines of, go away.
I looked at my phone during the middle of that. Like, when it was really in the thick of it, it was like 8:12 already.
Yeah. They really let that segment breathe, and it worked.
Oh, we're great.
Spectacularly.
Yeah. They're fuck you, Roman chants. Fuck off, Roman chants. I don't know. It was all
there were several.
You're asshole. There was asshole chants of some sort.
Yeah.
All sorts of rude things thrown at Roman Reigns. I'm honestly, man.
He took it.
I am so confused at this point between the difference between X-Pac heat and heel heat. Look, dude, X-Pac never got this kind of heat. Now, if X-Pac had been pushed to the level that Roman Reigns is pushed, maybe we would have seen this. I feel like we're in this weird amalgamation of, we're in this weird zone of like X-Pac heat and actual heel heat.
You know, because what I think it is we don't often see something new in wrestling. Mm-hmm. I think what we're seeing is the birth of a whole new kind of heat.
It's kind of the genesis of Batista heat. We saw its birth in Batista heat.
Yeah.
Somebody that we know for a fact the WWE is either bringing in or simply just choosing, and not, I hate saying this, but not listening to the fans. It's when the fans feel like the WWE is tone deaf to such an obnoxious degree that they boo it. And so I think it's not even X-Pac heat at this point, because we never saw X-Pac, like, because he, you know, it's his name. And X-Pac, it was just, X-Pac would come out, he was kind of annoying, and people would boo him. And it wasn't he's doing good heel work, it was, you're obnoxious and you're kind of, like, that's not an attractive look on you, X-Pac, you need to go away.
Yes.
Because X-Pac was over many times. When he was like hanging out with Kane, he was over.
With DX, he was over.
And I love X-Pac. You know what? I'm turning around on X-Pac. I fucking love X-Pac because he shredded now and he came out. He was on Stone Cold Podcast. He said that he used the toilet water out of a bar in like Mexico or something to do meth, to smoke meth with. I don't know how meth works, to be honest with you. I'm not sure why you need that to do that. But anyways, and now he's on Twitter like showing off pictures of his shredded abs because of DDP yoga. So I'm all in on X-Pac. I think it's great.
Anyways, getting back to Roman Reigns.
He never got this kind of heat before. But the only thing the only person I can really think of is Batista. And in this day and age, this new era, but it's really an era of like internet savvy fans who, because of the network is creating, I honestly think the network is sort of creating, and if you can call it passion, you can call it what you want. But people are more and more deeply into the product, I think. And they don't want somebody rammed down their throats.
You know, I think at least with Batista, people realized, they knew what he had done before, and I'm sure a certain segment of the audience appreciated it, what he had done before, if not all of them. And pretty much the only reason that they were booing Batista was because he was not Daniel Bryan. They wanted Daniel Bryan in that top spot.
Yeah.
It really had very little to do with Batista.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
This has everything to do with Roman Reigns. This has everything to do with Roman Reigns being the position he's in.
Yeah.
And
I think it's kind of two sides of the same coin, though, don't you? It's somebody there. It's okay. Hold on.
Just wait.
Because I know you know what I'm thinking, but they don't. When you have multiple other options, look at Finn Balor's return tonight. The roof exploded. Okay. And granted, they put the Universal title on him mainly because Roman had been punished at the time. You have him. You have Sami Zayn. You have any number of other guys that the fans are waiting and chomping at the bit to rally behind. The same way they were literally rallying behind Daniel Bryan. And instead, we get Batista. And instead, we get Roman Reigns. That's my point when I say two sides of the same coin.
I understand, yeah. I would counter with this, and it's a minor point, that as of yet, yes, the reception tonight for the faces that you mentioned or the names you mentioned were fantastic. None of them have yet to establish kind of the organic crossover appeal that Daniel Bryan did yet.
Okay, sure.
Yet. I mean, there was literally a groundswell of movement
to get him
into the main
event.
That's
a once-in-a-generation thing. Sure, absolutely.
But we don't have that right now. We don't have that wrestler to counter Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but everybody knows that we could.
We could.
I don't know. Well,
because with the Batista example, you know, they could say, well, we're going to put Batista main event in WrestleMania. And then someone else could say, well, Daniel Bryan is literally the most over wrestler in the entire industry. There's no one. I mean, you could counter Finn. Mm-hmm. He got a great reception tonight. But we both know that the Raw after Mania crowd is a different crowd than most of the crowds for the year.
Yeah, dude. Finn.
That's not to say that Finn is not over. He's over. He's really over. But in 3 weeks from now, he'll get a good reception, but not like tonight.
Oh, yeah, no. It's Raw for Mania. Of course not like tonight. It's his return. Of course he's not going to get it tonight.
So,
or he's not going to get it 3 weeks from
now. I think until there's literally a person that they can't deny,
I don't know, man.
They're not going to change course with Reigns.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's... I'll have to chomp on that one a little bit because I still think my point is valid, and I'm trying to remember the booking decisions behind Daniel Bryan in terms of how far did it look like they were going to go with him, and then the crowd took him the rest of the way.
Well, a lot of that, too, depends on what you believe about the rumors coming out that they were going to have him face Sheamus at WrestleMania and stuff like that, whether that was misinformation put out there to anger the internet fan base or not. That's a lot to kind of get through.
But in any event, I think that we're sort of arguing over sort of...
We're kind of splitting. We're splitting hairs.
Yeah. I think that it's the same. I think it's the same type of thing. It's the fans are... The fans want to get behind something that they can really kind of... It sounds cheesy to say believe in.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
But they want to get behind their guy. And right now, I mean, it'd be fascinating to see where Finn would have been. Because I think, and especially, I think the WWE knows, I think Triple H knows it. You know, he's on the cover of the, and he's like the main focal point of the NXT book that they just dropped.
Yeah.
His merchandise sells like crazy.
Yeah.
I think the pop that he got tonight, I think people really, really want their Finn Balor.
Yeah.
I think they really do. Now, he doesn't have the same... Nobody has what Daniel Bryan has.
No.
But I think he's the closest comparison in terms of what potentials could be. I mean, he's a different animal than Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is like just such a man of the people.
Yeah.
And Finn Balor is that cool guy that you want to be and then women want to be with.
Well, part of the time, and then the other time he's a demon.
Exactly.
Let's bring this back around.
But I think the Batista-Roman Reigns thing is kind of apropos.
No, that's an apt comparison. But like Reigns now is that... Almost to an infinite level.
No, you're right.
It's a geometric progression. It's,
yeah, it totally is.
And it feels like there's added dimensions to it as well.
Yeah.
Because tonight, let me explain what happened, then I'll proceed. So there's this back and forth between Roman and the audience, where Roman would try to talk. Crowd will boo him, and he'll
start booing.
He'll
lot,
lower the mic, and it went back and forth at least four or five times. It took about 10 minutes. And so finally, there's enough of a pause, he puts the mic to his mouth and just says, "This is my yard now," throws the mic down, walks out.
Yeah.
That was fucking great.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great.
Yeah.
So if they harness, if they can find a way to harness that heat and have him use it to do something that's kind of interesting, I can get behind it.
And what are your odds? What are your odds on them doing that?
Well, if they're saying the crap like, "Well, this is the night where people boo and they usually cheer," then obviously they still don't get it completely.
Yeah, dude, I don't think they get it, man.
Because what I saw in the ring happen, I was like, "Oh, okay.
Okay, so let me ask
this
you
is
this,
cool.
Though.
At least this is interesting potentially." And then when you told me that someone tweeted us that about the commentary team, I was like, okay, well, they still don't get it.
This is the thing. Here, I firmly believe, and I'll take this to my grave, I firmly believe that this is simply... Sorry, that was gross. It has to just be Vince's stubbornness. Like, it has to be. I let me ask you something.
Is this Triple H saying, "Let's do one thing," and then Vince saying, "No, let's do this instead"?
Shit, I don't know.
Does Triple H want to do this kind of meta heel thing?
No, I think at this point Triple H is hands off on Roman. I honestly believe that.
Oh, I believe that too.
I think Triple H is just he uses that line to justify it when the press talks to him about it. That's it. Because he literally can't say this is Vince's thing.
Yeah,
he can't say that. You know what I mean? Like and I like that he keeps referring to himself as creator. Because that's not just story. That's true.
Yeah.
He's making the company for the future. That's what he's doing, and it's great. And I gave this answer, and I wish I would have said this in a different way, but the Internet Darlings panel, Brian Zane had like a question to post to all the panelists where he said something like, will fans ever get behind a WWE chosen one? And my response was, and I clarified, I said, you know, this is a dark answer, but when Vince dies. And the reason why I put it that way, as opposed to when Vince retires, because I firmly believe Vince will never retire.
Yeah, he won't.
You get that right.
Yeah,
so I'm not saying,
he's not going to retire.
Oh, when Vince is dead. No, it's my response is he's never going to retire. And so, you know, one day, and I hope for the man's, you know, life that it's a long time from now, because
yes.
I give a shit more about people than I do about wrestling.
Yes.
I hope it's a long, long time from now. I really wish that he would give some more creative leverage over the big events, main event stuff to Triple H and Stephanie, because I think they could do a really good job with it. But I honestly think it's not going to happen until Vince doesn't have, you know, either he doesn't have full control of whatever.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be until then. So I think this is all Vince, and I don't know.
He's just trying to ram Roman.
So you're
in our
absolutely right. You're absolutely
until
right.
We make peace with the fact that he's a top guy.
A 3-month heel turn would totally do. This is what's crazy about it. We said this before. A several month heel turn. Here's the thing. I firmly believe that by WrestleMania 34, Roman Reigns can be one of, if not the most over guy in the company. Do you believe that's a possibility?
It's possible.
It's something that can be accomplished.
This is it's literally, they just need to decide what they're going to do, put a plan in place, follow through with it.
Here's my thing. I don't think they will, but I think it can happen. I think everybody tonight that's chanting "fuck you, Roman," by the end of WrestleMania, by a year from now, Raw after Mania 34, they will be chanting "thank you, Roman."
Yeah.
If they did it right. It would take a 4 to 6 month heel turn. That's all it would take.
I know.
Brock Lesnar knows how to play heel.
Yeah.
You know? And so I like that they set up. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But so, and when he said, "This is my yard now," did you notice he had almost kind of a smile on his face?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, okay. Because
the whole time there was moments where he turned towards our section. And at no point did he seem rattled by the reception he was getting. None. At one point, he held his hand up. And it looked like he said, "Have him in the palm of my hand."
Yeah, I think he did.
I mean, he was smirking, he was grinning.
Yeah.
He didn't seem rattled in the least.
But let me ask you this. Sometimes I want to say the Raw after Mania. I won't say that because I don't know that for sure. Next week, what's the response for Roman going to be? Because I don't think it's going to be like it was this week, but I don't think it's going to be like it was the Raw before Mania either. I think it's going to be further. I think it's not going to be as bad as it was this time.
But it's still going to be pretty bad.
And I think it's going to be worse than it was before Mania.
Oh, absolutely. He's got nuclear heat on now because he retired The Undertaker.
Well, he has nuclear heat right now with us tonight at this crowd. Do you think that nuclear heat is going to carry over
into next week? I think there's two things here.
Because my point is this. There has to be a breaking point, right? They can't proceed with their plan if he just keeps on getting this kind of heat, right? I mean, it largely depends
what the plan is.
Yeah, you're right.
There's two things. There's him retiring The Undertaker. That's heat. And then there's also the situation, and I'm not sure which way this is going to go exactly. There's people watching Raw on TV and seeing the reception he gets, especially tonight, that they go to a show a week, two weeks, a month, 6 months from now, and they see the fun a lot of people are having, booing Reigns, and they're like, I want to be a part of that.
Well, my point that I was going to make, and I stopped myself, was that I kind of feel like how the Raw after Mania goes, the nation goes. If you will. And I don't know necessarily that
they set
true,
the tone, yes.
But I kind of feel like they might set the tone a bit.
Yeah.
And I don't have, the reason why I want to stop myself is like I don't really have any specific examples, but I kind of feel like that's the way it goes.
Well, here, I mean, you know, you can always bring up the Fandango example where Raw after Mania, everybody was doing this to his theme.
Yeah.
And that carried over to a far lesser degree the Raw after that, and again the Raw after that.
But that's such
4 weeks later, it was non-existent.
You're right, but that's such a silly example.
Oh, I know.
It's such a superficial example that it doesn't really go on. But you're right. I mean, that is an example. I was just thinking more of like audience reaction to like more substantive things. But no, I think you're right. I think people who see tonight's Raw, which is probably going to be a heavily viewed episode of Raw,
yes.
Versus, you know, it, down the weeks, it's gonna it, that kind of thing is substantive in terms of, you know, that has substance to it.
Yes,
booing Roman Reigns because he's gonna be the guy that's gonna be his music is gonna be hit in the end of every Raw,
or most
probably, yeah, most of them. If it's not Finn Balor's,
is his music either gonna start Raw or end it?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like.
I just feel like the United States title now is kind of like the title that we're gonna have to give.
Well, it's. With Lesnar having the Universal title. And yeah, we've heard that he's going to be on Raw more, compete more regularly.
Right.
The U.S. title is on a regular basis, the top title on Raw.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
I mean, if that's going to be like the Smart Mark title, that's fine. Like that, I don't really care. It's like, it's whatever it is. I just want interesting shit happening. Anyways, he said, this is my yard. And just the people lit up and then he took off. I mean, you know, he's a pro. He's going to handle it well. It's just, it's not a matter of him. It's a matter of creative then taking this into next week. I mean, I legit have no idea what they're going to do next week with him. But if they continue to have him bury other people that, you know, the fans are responding to, he's just going to be this weird nuclear heat for a guy who we don't even know why we're booing him. We shouldn't be booing a guy because he's being forced on us.
Oh, I understand that.
You know, we shouldn't be booing
him. We should
be
booing him based on his actions, not
based on his work and what.
Not based on the position he's in.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just a weird thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
I just don't get it. It's just a weird Batista. Yeah, I don't know what to call it. What do you want to call it?
It's way beyond Batista. It's way beyond that.
I know, but that's where it started.
I know.
X-Pac never got that much heat.
That's why I say it's a whole new thing.
Well, name it.
Well, it's Reigns heat.
We can't name it Reigns heat.
We do.
Because he's the one who has it now.
I know, but if it's a new thing.
When X-Pac was getting X-Pac heat, we didn't call it X-Pac heat.
But that was, okay. I'm sure in the history of wrestling, there's other people that just graded the audience so much that they got heat for it. Not because of their actions, but it's because of the way they were. Here's the thing about Roman. I'll compare it to this. Like when someone discovers a new element, generally they name it after themselves.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what this is.
All right, well, there you go. You got me on that one. Good job. Well done. Next up, we had fan favorite, the Broken Hardys.
Yeah.
Versus the Club.
So Club apparently getting their rematch.
Apparently Matt Hardy was not in Broken Care. I really would love to know. This is like fascinating what the deal is with how far he can go, what they're letting him do. It's obvious he wants to be Broken Matt Hardy.
I'm sure they're waiting for the legal matters to sort themselves out.
I wonder if that's true. I wonder if, is there just a stalemate? Are they just going to sort of test to see what they can do? Does upper management WWE care about the broken shit? I have no idea.
I don't know either. I would assume, though, I mean, reading interviews with Jeff and Matt and seeing how invested they were in the Broken Universe and how much they desire to have creative, somewhat creative control moving forward, I wouldn't think, this is a supposition on my part, that they would go to WWE and more or less say, okay, we don't really care about any of that anymore. We just want to come back home.
I think you're right.
And so maybe now they're just doing maybe the bare minimum of what they think they can get away with.
Yeah.
Until things get settled.
And maybe
bit by bit they'll add more.
I don't think they would ever say we don't care about that stuff. We're just happy to be here. But it wouldn't surprise me if they said, well, that's a bummer, but we're happy to be here and we'll just do whatever. Like, that wouldn't... I don't think them coming in WWE was predicated on them being able to bring the Broken Universe over.
No, but I think they probably wanted some say in how they were used. But maybe not. I could be completely wrong. And the way they're doing it now, they're doing just enough, I think, to give the fans, what they want.
Yeah.
They can still do the delete chants.
Yeah.
Matt is more or less being just Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
But he'll sprinkle in, wonderful!
Yes!
Yeah. And an occasional delete.
Yeah.
And that's what the fans want right now. And that's enough for now.
Yeah.
You know? And then after kind of the nostalgia factor wears off, then maybe we'll see if they add some dimension to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a decent match between the Club and the Hardys tonight for the tag titles. The Hardys retained.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. I'm trying to think of any spots. It finished up with a Swanton Bomb. Wait, was it? I know Matt hit a Twist of Fate, and then there was a Swanton Bomb, and then Matt got the pin. I think that was the finish. It was something like that. I know Jeff hit a Swanton Bomb, and then Matt got the pin, but there was a Twist of Fate before that. So it was cool. It was fun. It was just, honestly, just a geek out moment to see the Hardys in the Club.
Yeah.
Neville came out. I know you're going to have beef with this match, and I'm kind of not.
No, I have no beef with the match.
No, I know, but I'm kind of not going to have beef with what you're going to have beef with. Neville came out, dropped a great promo about being king of the cruiserweights and rubbing everybody's faces about how he won at Mania. It was really great. I'm sorry. You go ahead.
And then Mustafa Ali's music hit, interrupting Neville for at least the second time I can think of, setting up their match. Neville, Mustafa Ali. You can talk about the ring setup, how Neville was just milling about while they were changing the ring over.
I'm glad you reminded me of that. I did put that video on Twitter.
Okay.
It was just, man, Neville comes down, and I think they go to commercial, or they start showing clips from Mania.
I think it was commercial while they get the ring ready for the cruiserweight match.
So, like, everybody's in there doing the ropes, like, putting those stupid purple shit on the ropes. Neville gets in the ring while they're doing it. Just mills about.
But then he goes ringside and starts kind of like talking trash to fans.
Because it takes forever.
I know.
It takes forever and a day.
I really don't know why they keep doing that.
It's just not necessary. It just bums me out. I honestly hate purple. Even if it was yellow, which is a color I love, I still wouldn't want them to do it. I just want them to do... They're on Raw.
I know. It should be Raw.
They're on Raw.
It should just be Raw across the board.
Like, here's my thing. When they're on 205 Live and they show a clip from Raw, what do they do with the Raw logo? They make it 205 Live colors.
Make it purple, yes.
They make it purple and gray. Well, yeah, they make it gray and purple. When they're on Raw, they should just make the, if they're gonna show like the 205 Live logo, make it Raw colors.
I don't even think you have to go that far.
They never really show the 205
Live
logo.
No, just have 205 Live have its design aesthetic. Have Raw have its design aesthetic. We all know it's WWE product.
Yeah, I know.
They're thinking about this way too much.
I can't stand it. If they spend more than like $50 on this every week, then that's way too much money.
It is. Yeah. Let's talk about this match, though, what kind of happened during the match.
It was Beach Ball Mania, man.
Yeah, it was.
I was fine with it. You know why? You want to know why I was fine? Okay, so here's a setup. Somebody had a beach ball, and they started playing with it and sending it across the crowd while the match was going on.
Yeah.
A security guy picked it up. Got his hands on it. Everybody started booing him. He thought it was funny, and I thought it was funny that he thought it was funny. And then another beach ball appeared, and then another one, and another one.
There must have been a half dozen beach balls.
There was at least 10 of them. There were a lot of beach balls, and they just kept on springing up while the match was happening. I totally understand what you're thinking right now. This is so shitty to do during a match. My counter to that is this was a standard 205 Live match on the Raw after Mania. This match should not have been on here. I'm sorry. It should not have been on here. This should have been something between Neville and Austin Aries. People love Austin Aries. People love to boo Neville. That's something exciting. As much as you and I both like Mustafa Ali, he does not belong on the Raw after Mania. I'm sorry. He just doesn't belong there. This match would not have featured Beach Ball Mania had they put something exciting in this entire slot right here, because you didn't see Beach Ball Mania return until much later on, I'm pretty sure, when the people were bored again.
No, it was during the main event. There was a Beach Ball during the main event.
I know, but Beach Ball Mania didn't, like, it. People didn't start chanting Beach Ball Mania. They didn't start, like...
They were getting excited, and then security got the Beach Ball.
Yeah, but you see my point, though. Like,
yeah, I don't have to necessarily agree with it. I think if two people in the ring busting their ass, whether in one's estimation they belong there or not, or should have that spot in the card, at least give them the courtesy to pay attention. Because it was a good match.
But you know that it was a good match. You know that it's not a bunch of people like you and me. I would give them the courtesy. You would give them the courtesy. You know, I'm just saying WWE knows what kind of crowd this is. Why are they booking this match on the Raw after Mania?
Because I want to give Neville a match on the Raw after Mania. No, see, because what they advertised for 205 Live was a fatal four-way match for the number one contendership for the Cruiserweight title.
Yes.
That should have been on Raw because there's stakes involved.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And Austin Aries would be there.
Yes.
That's the match they should have had. Have Neville come out, drop a promo saying, none of these guys, whoever wins this, isn't going to beat me. He can go to the commentary table. Then have the fatal four-way. I understand why they didn't do it. They want to make 205 Live feel important. I get that. But they should have the fatal four-way on Raw. Anyways, you know, people are going to do what they do. That's fine. I just have my preferences.
Yeah, no.
People can do what they want. I wasn't sitting there, like, you know, shitting on everybody. I was just sitting there just trying to watch the match.
I had one beef with a fan-related thing during this. And the reason why I didn't really... I mean, look, you know, I agree with you, man. They're in there busting their asses. They're still getting paid. But Beach Ball Mania goes down. Everybody in the crowd is having fun with it. And
I don't want to seem like a buzzkill. Don't want people to not have fun.
But I get what you're saying. I'm just saying it probably would have been avoided if they had something cooler there. I even think it might have been avoided had the Fatal 4-Way, the match that you're suggesting, have happened on Raw. Because I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Anyways, I will talk about what annoyed me when we get to it.
Okay.
We saw a limo pull up.
Yeah.
Yeah! I'm back!
Ah, yeah, I got it.
Where's the fashion police?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's got it. Oh, yeah. He's gotta puke.
Yeah, Vince walks out of the limo.
This is a great segment, man. Vince comes down. He comes out. His music blasts. His video package is always amazing. He gets in the ring and he says, "You're the most passionate fans.
Yeah.
In sports entertainment."
And then everybody starts chanting, "Fire Roman!" Oh no! First he says, "All right, we're gonna have a superstar." What's the exact?
Oh yeah, verbiage? Superstar shakeup.
Superstar shakeup. So next week, they didn't really say on what show. I assume on both. They're going to shake up the roster, have some trades, maybe a small redraft. I don't know. He didn't go into specifics.
If you guys want to know who we should, who should get involved in the superstar shakeup, I think we did a count on it not that long ago.
We did.
Brand change count out.
So in response to that, the whole crowd started chanting, "Fire Roman."
Yes. Yeah.
The whole crowd.
I feel like I just wonder if Vince is like, is Vince trolling us all with this Roman thing?
Kind of feels that way.
Is he just like fucking with us because he's old and he can?
Yeah. He sells a lot of merch. That's all I care about. Who cares what they think?
Yeah.
But anyways, he says, superstar shakeup. He says, the rosters need a shakeup. Which, yeah, anyways. Then he says, and also, Raw needs a... Oh, he says, my daughter, let's take a look at some footage from last night. And it shows Stephanie going through the table. And she said, and he goes back to Vince and he says, "So I've got some bad news. Stephanie won't be back." Everybody starts cheering. They explode. Yes. He says, "You people are disrespectful." And they start cheering.
They said, "You people are cruel.
You people are bloodthirsty."
More cheers.
He knows how to rev up a crowd. I know.
And so he says, there's no commissioner. There's no GM under all. They need a new person in charge because Steph's going to be out for a while." Everybody cheers. And so he says, "And now here is the new general manager of Raw."
Because it was somebody
who's a recent Hall of Famer. Yes. And then Teddy Long's music hit.
It was great.
It was he
comes
fantastic.
Out dancing. The music stops. He's still dancing. Teddy, stop dancing. Teddy, stop dancing, Daniel. So Teddy eventually stops dancing. He says, it's not you. And Teddy's like, oh, all right.
My bad.
My bad. Oh, well. Holla, holla, holla. And then he starts dancing away with no music.
It was great.
It was fantastic. It was great. And he announces Kurt Angle's new Raw GM.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Kurt Angle comes down. He very keeps it short. Just says, I'm really glad to be here. It's true. It's damn true.
Yeah.
He leaves. New Day. Angle got a massive pop, by the way. We're going to talk a little bit more about Kurt Angle in a bit.
Yeah, because
he did some more stuff that was awesome.
Some fantastic stuff. This next segment was a highlight of the show for me.
Because the New Day come down, they drop a promo talking about WrestleMania, and they say,
we didn't have a match at WrestleMania,
yeah,
but we want to have a match now. So we're issuing an open challenge to anybody that wants to come down and challenge us.
Yeah.
And then, so they were setting it up for a surprise debut.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We both thought that the Revival would probably go to SmackDown because SmackDown needs some help in the tag division. But no.
I figured it would be DIY.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you hear, say yeah.
Yeah.
I lost my shit.
Oh, it was amazing. It was fantastic. The entire arena lost their shit.
What? Say yeah.
We go hard.
All day, all night.
It was, so good. So good to see those guys.
I know.
So good to see them on Raw.
And that's the perfect place to debut them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've done great work in NXT. And to have the show in Orlando where NXT is based.
Yeah.
The crowd's going to pop for them.
Yeah.
A familiar crowd will pop for them. Or, you know, if they debuted in some other city, they might not have gotten their same reception. So they felt like stars already.
Well, this is the same. This is the same thing they did with Enzo and Cass.
Yeah,
And it was huge for them. They're still big. This was definitely this is huge. So then that led to obviously a fight between the Revival and New Day. And it was a good match.
Yeah,
showcase the Revival skills. I'm really looking forward to seeing. The Revival match up against some of these tag teams. The Club.
They'll put on some great matches.
Probably not going to fight the Club anytime soon.
Cesaro and Sheamus versus Revival. I want to see that now.
Just to see Cesaro in there again.
They're going to work out some really intricate tag team maneuvers. And it's going to be fantastic.
Really, really cool.
It's going to be so good. I can't wait for that.
And so here's... Okay, so you gave me your sort of your beef with the crowd, perhaps. This is my beef with the crowd. When you say shit... That's shocking, that isn't clever, and you try to get a chant started. A couple people try to start a We Want Brad Maddox chant. One guy literally just started chanting, You Screwed Paige.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Really? I'm surprised.
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay. And it didn't catch on.
I mean, the Revival was in the ring. I was paying attention to the action in the ring. Probably saying, yeah, yeah.
That I have a problem with. I remember when I went to that house show in Sacramento. It was front row.
Yeah.
2 years ago, whenever it was. And it was during, there was a women's tag match, and Emma was there. And one of the idiots, like two seats down from me, started like jawing at her about when she was shoplifting. That's just fucking awkward. So shut the fuck up. We all know there was a sex tape with Xavier Woods and Paige and Brad Maddox. We all know that. You're not being clever. If he was standing in front of you having a conversation, you wouldn't say that. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I hate that kind of shit.
Yeah.
When you're just trying to troll the performers for no other reason other than, oh, I saw something. Oh, I saw your dingus. Ooh. So I'm going to tell you about it now. Ooh. And now because this is Raw After Mania, so I can get away with it. No, shut the fuck up, please. I hate that shit.
Yeah, it's
not
cool.
I fucking hate that shit.
Not cool at all.
It's so annoying. It's like, in that case, I'm like, man, you know what? That's just... That lacks tact. And I'm honestly with you on the beach ball mania. I do feel that. I just feel like that's more kind of the WWE's. I'm not going to say their fault, but I don't know. Crowd wants to be entertained. They're going to entertain themselves. I just thought it was surreal that there were so many beach balls.
Yeah.
Who brings that many beach balls?
I don't know.
It was weird.
It was really weird.
Yeah. Anyways.
So after that, we had a Kurt Angle segment backstage with Enzo and Cass. It's so good to have Kurt Angle back.
Oh, my God. It is so good to have Kurt Angle back. It's the best thing ever, isn't it?
It is so good.
It's amazing.
Man.
I really don't think that 3 months from now we're going to be complaining about Kurt Angle start kicking off every Raw with like, I would love that if he kicked off Raw. He is so fucking good.
Yeah.
He is so good in these little comedic bits. So he's backstage.
He has a box of some medals.
Of his old
his
props.
His little hat, his wig.
Wigs, yeah. And he looks very proud and happy to be there. And then Enzo and Cash show up. They kind of go through their shtick in a spoken word manner.
Yeah, very toned down.
Very toned down, exactly.
And I think Kurt Angle, in response to Enzo, saying, well, what did he say? That's an interesting university you studied at or something like that?
Oh, he said, I am certified G-boy. Well, you can't teach that. He says, certainly not any college I've heard of.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And then
Cass did his thing of spelling soft, S-A-W-F-T.
Yeah.
They leave, and then they show a shot of Courtney's all. That's not how you spell soft.
This is going to be a brilliant running joke for a couple weeks. Him, and I hope they play it up. If the low-level WWE writer is listening,
yes,
play up him being gone and acclimating to the new acts,
yes,
and their quirks, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's what he should be doing.
Yes, that's a money idea.
That's a good idea.
Great idea.
Anyways.
Anyways, after that, we had a six-woman tag match. Bayley, Dana Brooke, and Sasha Banks against the returning Emma.
I had my hugger sign out. Yeah, my hugger sign out. Look at my hugger sign.
Yeah, you're
so,
all up.
Okay, so people were asking this on Twitter. Who gave us these signs?
I still don't know.
I was there.
I was right in the bathroom.
I was there, and a very polite young man wearing a Bayley shirt came up to me and said, would you like one? And I said, yes. And then he put one on the seats that were empty, and everybody in our section accepted it from him.
Yes.
There was another young lady passing them out like along here. I would assume they're WWE employees.
Yeah.
Because I doubt that they would just let fans start doing this.
Yeah.
Passing them out to random
I'm
people.
I'm pretty sure it's a WWE thing.
And on top of that, you pointed this out, even though I had no idea. These look like the exact same ones they always have.
Yeah.
They're always look like
they're uniform.
Thank you. They're uniform. So this is going to go on our set. I did this as a joke. Well, first of all, I folded it up because I had to use the bathroom again. Then when I came out, I realized it was folded up. And then Bayley comes out and everybody has their pristine hugger section ones. Mine is all like this. So I decided to take the next level. I ripped it up a little bit and I held it up upside down just in case the cameras caught it. I think it'd be hilarious, but I don't know if the cameras did. Anyways, going on our set, so I'm happy with myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was Bayley, Dana Brooke, Sasha Banks against Emma.
Totally forgot Dana Brooke has a face now.
Nia Jax. Yeah, I know.
She came out after Bayley and they were like, Bayley started like lip syncing her theme song.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
I thought that was just a rib. They were having a one-on-one
match. I thought
that
was a rib too. And then they like started acting really, really chummy. And I was like, oh, this might be a tag match.
Yeah.
Okay. And sure enough, it was.
Well, it's funny, too, because when Sasha came in the ring, she came in on the in the opposite corner.
Oh, interesting.
And took her jacket off. And I was like, is she like their opponent?
Right, right.
And then when JoJo, the ring announcer,
yeah,
announced the match.
And their opponents.
Emma, Nia Jax,
and
Charlotte.
Oh, you can't just say Emma. Emma. She came back.
So I said that earlier before you talked about your sign.
Oh man.
I said the returning Emma. Heel mean Emma.
Can be honest.
Mean Emma is the best Emma.
Oh man. Any Emma is amazing, but mean heel Emma, evil Emma is the best.
Yeah.
Because how many times she smiled during this match?
Three times, but I think it was an evil smile.
Oh, really? No nice smiles?
I didn't notice.
I don't know. I thought I noticed a nice smile in there.
Oh, I might have too, yeah.
I did notice at least one.
But she seemed to have toned down the nice smiles and concentrated more on the evil smile.
Maybe she's had some time to concentrate on maintaining the
evil smile.
Harnessing
Emma.
Emma's so good, man. You see her in the ring, and she just knows how to wrestle.
I know.
There's no awkwardness there, which is ironic because like her character's supposed to be awkward.
I know. There's this great spot where Bayley's in the Tree of Woe,
yeah,
and Emma slides out of the ring, grabs her ponytail, and he pulls on it.
Yeah.
And there's no way to like work that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bayley legit got her ponytail pulled.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
And for a significant duration of time.
It was hard all day, all night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, the finish saw Sasha put the bank statement on Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte tapped.
Yes.
The face team won.
Yeah.
They leave the ring. Charlotte, upset about the loss, you know, starts getting the face of Nia and Emma. And then so she pushes Nia Jax. Nia responds with an attack.
Mm-hmm.
Nia turns to go towards Emma. Emma, smartly, gets out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Nia does something else to Charlotte. Nia stands on the ring apron. She exits.
Yeah. It's
pretty obvious we're going to get a Nia Jax-Charlotte feud.
Yes.
In the very near future.
Correct.
Which I'm excited to see.
Yeah. Here, we'll see how this superstar shakeup thing shakes out, though.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to go to SmackDown, and the way they left Charlotte... What do you think is more likely? Because Charlotte, in that case, and I know they could do the thing where it's like heel versus heel, but I get the feeling that they're not going to want to do that.
That could be.
What do you think is more likely? Charlotte versus Nia? Charlotte heads to SmackDown, given that we know a superstar shakeup's going to happen.
Probably the latter.
I would think that Charlotte might go to SmackDown.
Could be.
I could see that totally happening. The could way be. That they left her in the ring like that, it's not like Nia Jax like kept on beating her down. She didn't yell at her. I mean, she did while it was happening.
Yeah.
But there was nothing that was so extended about it. And the fact that Charlotte was left laying in the ring, and I don't know how commentary treated it if they really played up the Nia Jax thing. Maybe it's totally going to be Charlotte versus Nia Jax. And maybe this was Charlotte's face turn tonight. I don't know. It just wouldn't surprise me. Could you imagine how amazing it would be if everybody on SmackDown in the women's division then had to climb Charlotte like that fucking heel mountain?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although I know they have Alexa Bliss over there.
Yeah, she's great.
And she's fantastic. I just feel like one of these should go to SmackDown to lend some weight to it.
Yeah.
I mean, Sasha might make more sense because you have Alexa as such a dominant heel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the crowd reaction that Sasha got, I don't know if they want to turn Sasha heel, even though the Bayley Sasha story pretty much writes itself at this point.
I mean, if Charlotte...
And that's a money feud.
Oh, for sure,
that's
yeah.
a huge money feud.
Goes without saying. I mean, Charlotte can come out next week on Raw and drop a great promo on Nia Jax and be a face.
Here's the thing,
totally
also,
could happen.
We rewatched Mania some today, and there's a couple moments during the Raw Women's match that led me to believe, even before Raw, that we were going to see a Charlotte Nia feud coming up.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
No, it could totally be the case. Let's see here. Then
next, we have another
backstage
segment with Kurt Angle and Sami Zayn.
I kind of like this version of Sami Zayn. I like him sort of being... He's like the most everyman guy there is, but he's like everyman at like your office. You know what I mean? Like he's that nice guy.
Yeah.
And he was trying to ingratiate himself with Kurt Angle, saying, you know, I had a relationship with Mick Foley and I want to have a relationship with you. And he was just going on. And Kurt Angle was obviously just tired of it. And he was doing this great. He was doing great.
Oh,
he
said Sammy had all of the three eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he ran them down and why they applied to Sami Zayn.
Sami turned his back. Angle kind of rolled his eyes.
It was so good.
And then enter Jinder Mahal, who just looks like a fucking monster, dude.
That dude's veins are out of control.
He's pretty.
His nipples are insane.
He's extremely muscular.
He's just very, it goes beyond muscular. He's very extreme. His body is extreme.
He seemed like he has no fat on him whatsoever.
It's not just that, though. Like, it's otherworldly almost.
I know. It looks like skin on muscle.
It looks like skin on... You got to give me something more here, man. It's something beyond that.
Okay, just a thin layer of skin on muscle.
Have you heard of, like, dark matter?
Yes.
I feel like he's somehow harnessed dark matter and infused it within his body, and his body starts just rippling with energy and whatever the mysterious thing is that dark matter is, and then you end up with Jinder Mahal.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not just muscle. You can't just say muscle.
No, I know, but you know, even if you're extremely muscular, even if you're ripped, you still have a thin layer of fat all over
you. Have
you
seen those pictures of Jupiter and all the storms going on?
Yes.
I feel like Jinder Mahal was born out of that. Like a storm on Jupiter.
Yeah, he's really ripped.
You're just underselling everything I say.
No, I'm not. I'm putting it in terms that are actually believable.
Oh man, you're on the wrong. We're not on the same page.
So,
man.
Anyways, this segment ended with a match between Sami Zayn and Jinder Mahal. Jinder brought up the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
He said Gronk.
How Gronk got involved?
I feel like it was just from my point of view. It just felt like he was saying Gronk as opposed to Gronk. I could be wrong about that. I think it'd be funny if he mispronounced Gronk's name. I think that'd be funny. Anyways, he's like, Gronk, I should not have to deal with him. I should have won the Battle Royal. And Angle said, look, back in my day, we settled things in the ring. So you guys go to the ring and settle it there. Go. Now. It was great.
It was fantastic.
He's already exhausted.
It's so good having Kurt Angle back.
And it's like things are right again.
I know.
It's like things are good.
I know.
Because like Mick Foley was a walking anxiety attack. I feel like Mick Foley was just in the wrong place. Like in care, I'm saying as a character.
Yeah.
Like, but there's also too much strife.
Also knowing he had a bad hip and he was, you know, having to travel, I felt bad for him.
So let me ask you something.
What?
Are we going to get Kurt Angle versus Triple H at SummerSlam?
I don't know, maybe.
Because I could see Stephanie coming back, mixing it up with Kurt, and
could
then
be.
Not leading to Kurt. Because I think Triple H, if there's any question, I don't think there should be a question, but if there's any question about like who Kurt should work with first, it should be Triple H. You know what I mean? And who would want to see that match?
Yeah.
You know what? Go ahead.
I mean,
didn't we do a whole video on dream matches for Kurt Angle?
I think so. I'm pretty sure Triple H was, on it. That's the easiest to justify, the easiest to book.
That's just what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
And it's a good litmus test. Like, who better to figure out if they really want Kurt Angle as a wrestler on the programming than
Triple H?
Well,
even just part-time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. No, dude, he's not. I don't want him as a full-time wrestler.
No.
I want him to be healthy.
Yes. After that, we had Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman come down to the ring.
Paul Heyman read us a bedtime story that evidently Brock tells his kids. You really think he does that? You know what I really wanted to say when he said Brock tells his kids? I wanted to say, Brock Lesnar, I don't give a shit about your kids. Because that's what he told Heath Slater.
That is.
So rude.
It was rude. And so he was going down the list of candidates to be Brock's next challenger.
Yeah.
And he came around to the 23 and 2.
23 and 2, yeah.
Who is Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And so he more or less challenged Reigns to a title match.
That promo alone justified Roman Reigns winning. And I know people fucking hate that shit, but it's totally the right way to go.
Yeah, and if the rumors
are true,
the rumors are true, the plan for WrestleMania 34 is for that match.
Mm-hmm.
They're laying the groundwork early.
Which I like. That's
yeah,
good. That's
totally.
Good. Totally. So he calls out Roman Reigns. Because he goes through a list of people that, you know, you might want to see. And so he says, you know, do you want to see
Seth Rollins versus, do you want to see the returning Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, both Hardys?
Well, you know why he said both Hardys? Wasn't that like Brock's debut match?
Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then he comes around to Roman and says, why wait? We're going to give the people here something special in that after WrestleMania. We're going to have this match right now.
It'd be great if they did that.
It would have been great. But instead, we got Braun Strowman's music.
All day, all night.
He walks down the ring and he says, after you're done with Roman, I hope more or less that I'm on your radar.
Right.
Because you're on mine. And he pushes him.
Yeah.
So Brock.
He pushes the belt.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Brock lays the belt on the ground between them.
So weird seeing somebody taller than Lesnar.
And says, come on. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
This could have been an awesome moment. This is like literally the only misstep I feel like on Raw.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah.
Instead of actually doing something, Braun steps back and leaves the ring. Braun in no way should ever be booked as a cowardly heel.
Yeah.
I understand they want to save this.
I wouldn't go so far yet as to call him a cowardly heel.
This is the third time he avoided a fight by leaving the ring.
Kevin Owens does this a lot.
I know, but Kevin Owens isn't 6'8 and 300 something pounds.
That is a good point. I know. No, I'm with you on this.
I'm not saying they
I'm not as with you on this as like 100%, but I'm 85% with you on this.
Yeah.
I wasn't that bummed out about it because what are they going to do?
I understand they want, if this is a match they want to save it for a pay-per-view. Will people pay for it? I get that.
Well, let me ask you this.
But something.
Just same thing happens. Braun comes out. They're toe-to-toe. I actually kind of like Lesnar backing down from Braun.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Okay, yeah.
That's all what right. I totally thought was going to happen.
Okay. No, I'm with you on that.
It was the opposite.
I am now 100% with you.
There we go.
Can I get a cheers for that?
I'm out of beer. I drank it all. All right. No, there's a little bit left.
Got a cheers.
So after that segment, backstage, Jericho is being interviewed by Charlie.
Yeah.
Great interview. He brings up Beach Ball Mania.
He does.
Which justified it almost.
Which justified Beach Ball Mania?
Almost.
It totally justifies it.
It almost did justify it.
Oh, it was good, man. You think KO was off screen like chuckling when
probably.
Chris Jericho?
Probably.
And who did he put today on the list of Jericho?
Kevin Owens' finger.
Tip.
Tip.
The tip of Kevin Owens' finger made the list of Jericho because
that's
course,
what saved Kevin Owens from losing at WrestleMania.
It was that great spot where he just went like
that.
Oh,
so good. And even after Jericho.
Kevin Owens is a fucking ring general, man.
He really is.
To do that shit. I'm always impressed when people can time out like little things like that. I'm always really impressed.
The best part was not only that, but that even after Jericho got off him, the ref broke up the pinfall, he kept his finger on the rope for what it felt like 90 seconds.
That's great.
It was so good.
That is good.
Yeah. Well, he kind of came to. It was so awesome. Pretty much right as Jericho's concluding his interview, Owens comes in, attacks him, beats him up.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe joins in.
Mm-hmm.
They powerbomb Jericho through a table that's in the backstage area.
Yes.
I assume cut the commercial. Come back.
Kurt is leaving the training room, is approached by Seth Rollins, who asks...
Who was supposed to partner with Jericho.
Right. Yeah, that was the main event. Who asked Kurt, hey, how's Jericho? And Kurt says, I'm sorry. He can't go tonight.
Not medically cleared.
But the match is still going to happen.
Kurt was going to find Seth a new partner.
Immediately, like just a stressful night for Kurt Angle.
I know.
You think he's regretting his decision to be Raw General Manager?
I don't think so.
I think he might be having second thoughts. I think he'll power through. Do you know why? Because he has the three eyes.
Exactly. He does. He really does.
How many of the eyes do I have, Larson?
Intelligence, integrity, and what's the other one?
Intensity.
Intensity?
Yeah.
Maybe two?
Which two?
You're relatively smart.
You know, can I say this?
What?
For anybody out there who like is turned off by when we get cranky with each other, it's moments like these that you can't ever think that we actually are bitchy at each other.
No.
Over wrestling.
I know.
Continue.
I'm trying to decide because at times you're intense. But also, also, by and large,
when I was talking about people chanting, "We want Brad Maddox," I was intense.
Yeah, but also, and using that same example, you do have integrity too.
I have the three eyes, I think, or maybe two and a half.
Two and a half.
Two and a half. All right.
What about me? Do I have all three eyes?
No, you have none of them. Oh, you're terrible. That's rude. Like swerving in and out, like you tried to turn on a green light when somebody was coming. You were like, "Give me the green light," and then you were like, "I was like, no, you're not supposed to go, go, go." I'm joking, man. You have all three.
Oh, that's nice of you.
You have all three.
I'm not very intense, though.
You're not very intense. I think you have two. But you know what? If
I can be intense sometimes. When the Revival came out, I was super intense.
You're super intense.
So I have two and a half as well.
Two and a half.
Let's just be diplomatic. We're wearing the shirts because we tied.
Because we tied.
It's all about diplomacy at this point.
It really is, man.
Anyways, next.
Yeah.
We had a tag team match, which was set up earlier tonight when Enzo and Cass talked to Kurt Angle saying they wanted to, they felt slighted because the Hardys were included in their tag team ladder match at WrestleMania. They won another shot at the tag team title, so we had Enzo and Cass versus Sheamus and Cesaro.
Can I just tell you?
This was an instant where the crowd involvement added to the match. And I was all into this.
And it wasn't just, watch out for banging this because you might get some audio stuff. It wasn't just the crowd. What was it?
They were singing Sheamus and Cesaro, Sheamus and Cesaro, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Something like that. But it wasn't just the chant that made it.
No, it was that Cesaro got into it.
He was dancing to it. And he go, Sheamus and Cesaro, Sheamus and Cesaro. And he would like point it. It was awesome.
Yes.
And the great shit is that when the ref won one of the times, when the ref did the two count, and the crowd went, two, and then sweet. A huge section of them did, sweet. Cesaro went,
yeah.
Like he hadn't seen that before, which I loved. Sheamus and Cesaro ended up going over Enzo and Cass again, wondering if Enzo and Cass. SmackDown desperately needs some gravitas.
Yes.
Enzo,
especially
Enzo and Cass aren't exactly guys I'd call men who have gravitas, but they have weight to them. They pop crowds.
Personality. And especially with the Usos, a heel team, having the tag titles, it would make sense.
It would totally make sense.
After the match, the crowd continues singing Sheamus and Cesaro, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And they were going back and forth, pointing at each other, and it was great.
It was
a lot of fun.
The crowd was so into it, and every time they showed some bromance, the crowd totally popped. They loved it.
This was an instance of crowd involvement enhancing a
positive
match
thing.
Rather than you know, depending on one's opinion, taking away from the match.
Oh, there is a second thing that the crowd did that bugged me later on during the main event. That really bugged me.
Was that the wave? Yeah, I didn't like that either.
It was the wave.
Yes.
And you know why I didn't like it? Because you could see who was trying to start it, and he was so desperate to get it started. And it's like, dude, really? That's all you give a shit about? That's what bugs me, is that when people literally are like, because it looked like the dude, I'm thinking of one guy, and it looked like he was getting pissed that people weren't doing the wave, because he was like yelling and like shouting at people when they weren't doing it. And I'm like, that's going too far. That's just doing too much right there. This isn't your show. You know what I mean? That's what kind of bugs me. The dude that you pointed out, the pizza guy, I just started thinking about anybody who's sitting near him or behind him. At some point, don't you just want to say, shut the fuck up and watch the show? You know what I mean? So, like, the people who get this stuff started, they kind of bug me, too. Like, I'm fine when the entire crowd eventually does. I'm fine with the results. But the people who are so obnoxious that they start it, that kind of bugs me. Because I just think about the other people who spent hella money, like, sitting behind that guy. Oh, my God. I would be so annoyed. I would be like, bro, because I kept on looking at him. I was like, he keeps on standing up and like is like shouting at people to do stuff and do this chant, do that chant. And I'm just like, I just want to listen to this fucking promo, dude. Just shut the fuck up and sit down, please. I don't like telling people what to do at shows, but when you're getting in the way of other people having a good time, that's when it bugs me. That's the point where it bugs me.
Yeah.
When you're getting in the way of other people having a good time.
Yes.
Anyways.
Anyways.
Jinder Mahal versus Sami Zayn, they had their match. Wasn't a really long match.
No, Mahal had the upper hand for most of it. Sami hit
Is from the Storms of Jupiter.
Okay. Sami hits an exploder.
Jupiter Mahal should be his
Helluva kick.
Yeah.
Picks up the win. Yeah. Crowd loves Sami.
Oh, yeah, of course they do.
So, which brings us to our main event for Raw. Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe come out first. Seth Rollins comes out. Mm-hmm. And we're all wondering, who's his partner going to be?
Nobody wondered that, man.
Everybody knew it was Finn Balor.
Yeah, everybody
Finn Balor. That, yeah. So Finn Balor returns to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Great response.
Oh, looked like a million trillion bucks.
Yeah, he looks like all the money.
Oh, fantastic.
He looks great.
If you took all the money in the world and from the Storms of Jupiter, you'd get Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Where was he born? Well, Ireland.
Ireland.
We know that, but like, I'm not going to go there. Because
where is the demon Balor from?
Didn't he say it in that answer, really probably. Long-winded, cheesy short film thing they did?
I think so.
The demon Balor was... Blah, blah,
blah, blah. Anyways, you know what I noticed? I know you often say that you don't like tag team wrestling.
I don't like tag team
this wrestling. Match and the women...
I don't like WWE tag team wrestling.
The six-woman tag match
yeah.
were a lot of fun live, especially in the women's match. You got to hear a lot of the banter between all the
oh, that is
competitors.
Fun, yeah. That is fun.
I like that. It adds to the match.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Granted, this match didn't have a ton of banter. Mm-hmm. Owens did some trash talk.
Yeah,
That was pretty much it.
Yeah,
but you get a better feel for the interaction between all the competitors, and I like that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So tag wrestling is better live than on TV.
Yes, I agree totally with that. I actually really love indie wrestling tag team.
Yeah, action. It's more chaotic.
It's more chaotic. It's more fun. Like you said, man, everything should be a tornado.
Yeah.
We had a...
But this was a good match.
Yeah.
Of course, Finn picked up the win, pinning Kevin Owens after a double stomp off the top rope.
Yeah.
Got a great response.
Yeah.
It was really cool. So they introduced everybody, and they went to commercial. And during the commercial break, Seth goes ringside first, starts, you know, giving people five along the ringside area.
Mm-hmm.
And then Finn goes down there, stops dropping two sweets on people for a little bit, and they get back in the ring before the commercial break ends.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's cool to see... Because we see the televised product so often, and we've been to live Raws and SmackDowns and such right. before, but it's cool to see those moments in between during the commercial breaks.
Oh sure, yeah.
You know where they're trying to keep the fans entertained,
yeah.
enough so they don't lose the momentum of the show.
Yeah,
and it's just kind of nice to see.
No, it totally is. It's great to see all the little details are awesome to see. I mean, it's an impressive production they put on.
Yes.
Finn Balor ended up going over with, I believe, the stomp thing that he does.
What's coup de grace.
The coup de grace. And he executed it on Kevin Owens.
Yep.
Wouldn't surprise me if we saw Finn Balor and Kevin Owens.
That's exactly what we're going to see after Payback.
Okay.
After Jericho loses again. It was kind of cool in this match because everybody in this match had history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. And at one point, well, number one, they're all bound by NXT.
Yes.
And so at one point, the crowd started chanting NXT, which I thought was really cool.
Yes. So that was cool. Everybody had story going into this match. It was fantastic. After the broadcast ended, or for USA at least, Goldberg comes out.
Yeah, this was cool.
And kind of shoots.
Yeah, he says, this isn't part of the show. There's no script here. So I'd appreciate it if you listen to what I have to say. I'm like, all right, Dad. Because that was the most dad thing ever.
I think they showed it on Raw Talk.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
That's what it seemed like.
Because I know him and his kid were on Raw Talk as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, he had that crowd in the palm of his hand. He started talking about how much his family meant to him. He started talking about the reasons why he did what he did. He made some self-deprecating jokes. He said, you know, I'm 50 years old or 40. Was he 50 or 49? 49?
Yeah, something like that. Whatever. Yeah, I think it's 49.
Said he's 49 years old. And, you know, all the pain and misery you go through for training and eating right and all that kind of stuff to try to be at least a small bit of what he used to be in 98. Just so my family can see me and what I used to do, he said, has been awesome, and I really appreciate that I've given this opportunity. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. He brought his son into the ring, and he did sort of a bow, and he said, never say never. Just before that, he said, you never know what or who is next. And the crowd loved it. The crowd, you know, when Goldberg was shown on the Titantron, when Lesnar was about to come out, the crowd booed and then they said, thank you, Lesnar. But, you know, just, I was really, really heartened to see that crowd responded to a human being in the middle of the ring, pouring his heart out,
yeah,
talking to his family. It really touched me in the feels, and I think it did for the vast majority of people there.
I think so. I think especially both of us as parents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely related to what he was saying.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And I think we definitely appreciated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It was, the whole thing was impressive. I mean, Goldberg's run was impressive. Like, he did look amazing. He obviously did give it everything and more to it.
Oh, and he brought up WrestleMania 20, described it as a debacle.
Debacle, yeah.
And absolutely. He said, you know, I think we did pretty well for ourselves at WrestleMania last night. And the crowd popped for it because it was 100% true. That match, even though it was less than 5 minutes last night at Mania, was vastly more entertaining than WrestleMania 20.
All spears and jackhammers and suplexes.
12 or 15 minutes.
But you're absolutely right. Well, yeah. That wasn't, you know, it wasn't actually a terrible match. It was the crowd was just...
The circumstances made it worse than it probably actually was. Exactly. It wasn't a great match.
No, God, no,
it was
no.
It's pretty bad.
It was not a good match at all. It wasn't like if the crowd didn't know they were both guys were leaving, I wonder how different that match would have been. Anyways. Goldberg, it was a debacle. Goldberg is right. You're right. It's a crap match.
Yeah.
He talked about that. His kid, when he brought his kid in. His kid
must have taken a spill.
Took a little spill over the barrier, and he says, "Look at that! He's already taken bumps, which is one more than this old guy has taken."
Yeah,
which is great.
It was great.
Which is fantastic.
You got a good laugh.
I fucking love Goldberg, man.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that he just sort of kept. I don't know. Like he always. It's funny because a dude like that, back in '98, like you never really heard him talk that much on the mic or anything, so you don't know what kind of person he is.
Also, when he did, it wasn't very good.
Right, exactly.
He's so much more natural now.
So you never knew, like, really what his deal was, but it turns out, and you've seen this in every interview, when he was interviewed for the WCW, the Rise and Fall of WCW, and I don't know if he was interviewed again for the Monday Night Wars. I don't remember that. But you've seen in everything he's done, he is, like, a super articulate, smart guy who seems to have a very grounded...
He seems very comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. And he seems very grounded, you know?
Yeah.
Let's answer some questions.
Yes. First, Haven Elric. If you guys could have a talk show segment in the WWE, like Miz TV, with one superstar co-host, who would it be and what would it be called? Haven Elric would have one with Bobby Roode and call it the Glory Hole.
That's a horrible name, Haven Elric.
It really is.
That is a god-awful name. You know what a Glory Hole is.
I do.
Do you think Haven Elric knows what it... You go to, like, a gas station, and there's, like, a little hole where a dingus goes through, and then somebody on the other side does things to it.
Yes, I know what a glory hole is.
Well, I know you know. I'm not sure they know.
Okay.
They probably do. They're disgusting. A talk show segment.
I don't know what it'd be called, but I want a talk show segment with the Revival.
It'd be called Say Yeah.
Say Yeah.
I can't beat that. No, I want one with DIY, but it'd be all like home improvement
of
shit.
Of course.
I hate that name so much. I fucking hate that name.
I'm not huge on it either.
I think I like the idea of, you know, of getting to a destination, a goal, through your own sheer willpower
and hard work.
Yeah, and in creativity.
And I understand that that moniker name embodies that.
Why not just call yourselves the Etsy team? You know what I mean?
I guess.
Like DIY. Call yourself the Home and Garden Crew. That's just, it's horrible. That's a terrible name.
Yeah, it's not the best.
Because there's a problem when you hashtag DIY, it doesn't come up with them.
No.
It's like shit you find on Reddit, like cool shit that you'll never be able to pull off, but looks easy on Reddit.
Yes. Dom the Man Hilberg. Hey,
I'm the man.
Say, 25 years ago, Shane McMahon abandoned his backstage and business ambitions to train to be a wrestler. What do you think his ceiling could have been in terms of ability?
Who, Shane?
Yeah.
He was a decent talker back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, the match against AJ we rewatched earlier today, and it plays a lot better on TV than it did live. Let's say it was bad live, but the first half was a little bumpy, it felt like, live.
Kind of hard to say.
I mean, especially if you base it on his first tenure in ring. I mean, he's super athletic.
Okay, well, I think we have to do this. In order to properly answer this question, if Shane wasn't a McMahon,
yeah,
what's the ceiling then?
He was a decent talker. He was athletic. He just never really had polish.
Yeah, but also, let me ask you this. Did he have it?
Oh, I don't know.
I would probably say no.
Probably not.
Probably no. Because he had, I mean, look, I'm not talking shit, but look at Finn Balor. He's got it, man. Look at that face. Look at Tommy N's face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shane McMahon's face, kind of pudgy baby face guy, you know? Not sure that translates well to, like, big star guy.
But he did have the Mean Street Posse with him.
He can, I'll tell you this. In ECW, he could have been a star.
Oh, he would have been huge.
He could have been huge.
Huge.
Huge. Especially with the Mean Street Posse.
Yes, Mean Street Posse.
Lachlan the Shagger Shrek. First time Patreon here. Thank you, Lachlan. Who are you guys expecting to come up to SmackDown tomorrow? And who do you expect to be brought up on the brand reshuffle next week if they actually bring up somebody in the brand reshuffle?
If anybody's going to be brought up, I think there's only two names, really. It's going to be DIY and or Shinsuke Nakamura.
You're forgetting the biggest one, man.
The Drifter.
The Drifter, Elias Samson.
Okay, three names.
Yep. Patrick Sparks had kind of the same question, too, so shout out to Patrick
considering
Sparks.
Considering Revival went to Raw, I would suspect that DIY would be headed to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Shinsuke headed that way, too. Because he said in interviews that he wants to go to SmackDown.
Yeah, I know.
And if they were going to bring him out, I would think it would have been tonight.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
So while we're flying home tomorrow, we'll miss, potentially, unless we can somehow watch it on the plane, Shinsuke's debut.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. I like this. Baby Orton's Broken Skull IPA bottle asks, how was it being in the crowd when Roman was being booed? Tonight had a lot of like really sort of unique memories for us, I think. You know, like being there during, I think this is going to be like a mania that they look back on, you know, and be like, this was either a turning point of some sort for Roman Reigns.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
So it was pretty cool.
Jefferson, with the crowd hot at Roman last night, and frankly, I totally loved it. Vince seemed to blow it off. Will they actually have him beat a red hot now face? I assume this is Brock Lesnar. I may have to push my fingers into my eyes if that happens. Please let them give the honor to Finn or Shinsuke.
Here's the thing. I think the thing is this. It's gonna be Roman Reigns.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to. I mean, I don't know. Look, I'm with you. I wish the Universal title was being fought over by Finn Balor and Kevin Owens, to be honest with you.
Yes.
But Brock Lesnar's a big name. They want Roman Reigns to be a big name. I'll say this. I feel like they could book him properly and get him over. Whether or not they will, the jury is so far out on that.
Yes.
Well, they have 12 months. So
we'll see if
trying.
They can do it. Snooker Sam 21. Hey, Stephen Larson. Great meeting you at the Internet Darlings. It was a blast.
Oh, thank you for thank coming
you.
Out
Thank
that.
You for coming. Thank you very much. One of the highlights of the weekend. My question is, my other highlights was seeing Undertaker's last match ever Not going to lie, I broke down at the end seeing him go. And to my mind, that might be the first time wrestling ever made you cry. Have you guys ever been moved to tears by wrestling before? If not, what's the most emotional moments you've had watching wrestling?
One of the most emotional moments I've had watching wrestling came in the, this is why I love DIY so much. But there was two of them, and they're really, really well executed. No, I'll just say the one. It was a Cruiserweight Classic match where they both sat down on the when Gargano went over. Was it Gargano that went over or Ciampa went over?
Gargano.
Gargano went over, and he sits down in the middle of the ring, and Ciampa starts to leave, and then he comes back, and he sits down next to him, and they sort of embrace. And it was like it wasn't a hug standing up. Something about sitting down was just so... It made them so human, and it made their bond so real.
Yeah.
That frame right there, I didn't cry. I don't think I've ever actually cried about anything in wrestling.
I don't think I have either.
But that frame really hit me. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is a beautiful moment.
I know, it's very rare you get beautiful moments like that in wrestling. Mm-hmm.
Edge's retirement speech kind of hit me in the feels a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I felt for it.
Daniel Bryan's retirement speech, too.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what, man? So they had that commercial for the 24 on his retirement thing. That bug you at all? That has to bug you, right?
They're really milking that a lot.
Well, here's what bugs me about it. It's not that they're milking it. It's that they manufactured his retirement.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what bugs me about it. They said, hey, show up for Raw tomorrow. And then he did because he's under contract. So he has to.
Yeah.
That and then they're gonna do a 20. They manufactured what they're calling the most difficult 24 hours of his life.
Yeah, I know.
That's what bugs me.
It was difficult because it was manufactured.
And I can almost guarantee that even he finds that silly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he seems like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
The most difficult 24 hours of Daniel Bryan's life. Yeah, because the day before, hey, yeah, you're not getting clear for any tests, so you got to announce your retirement tomorrow. It's like, I don't know. That's just. I mean, I get that, but like retirement is final. You know what I mean? Like, he's out of his contract. You can't...
Hold on. Retirement is not final.
Okay, no, you're right.
Chris Kimmel.
Totally right.
With the roster shakeup next week, do you think the Revival will still end up on SmackDown? No, they're going to be on Raw. If they won him on SmackDown, debut him on SmackDown.
Yeah, they would have debuted him on SmackDown. BP, Sculpin, Deathlock, first-time patron here. Wouldn't it have been better if during one of Bray's projected images, a Viper came through and startled Bray long enough for Orton to get an RKO?
That would have at least been a creative way to finish the match. That would
have at least been interesting. Have Randy Orton counter the projections. Like a projection of Bray Wyatt's... How about this? A projection of Bray Wyatt sitting on the toilet. Like you pedestrianized
it. I honestly don't even want to think about that match anymore. It was so bad.
Sorry to bring back bad memories.
It was horrendous. The more I think about it, the more they just like completely destroyed Bray Wyatt.
Not good. It's not going to get better tomorrow, man.
That guy is money. Bray Wyatt is huge money.
Big money.
If they use them correctly.
Big money.
Which they've very rarely done.
Oh, no. Christopher Lockhart, another first-time patron. Thank you, Christopher. Wondering if you've ever been to a WWE show where the fans clearly chanted so many F-bombs. There were a lot of that tonight.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been to one where that happened before. No, tonight that was very special.
That was the most F-bombs I've heard in a wrestling show from the crowd, yes.
Yeah.
Reigning and defending Terror Universal Champion Kobe Felt. So with the Hardy Boys returning last night and appearing tonight on Raw, with the Revival appearing tonight on Raw as well, does that mean both will stay on Raw and we see a team like Enzo and Cass or Sheamus and Cesaro go over to SmackDown, or one or both the returning debut teams go over to SmackDown? Revival's not going anywhere. They're going to be on Raw.
They're on Raw.
Enzo and Cass is a pretty decent chance that they'll go to SmackDown.
Yeah. I'm not even really bummed that they're not on SmackDown. I mean, a lot of people are too. How mad are you that they're on Raw?
I think primarily we said they should go to SmackDown because SmackDown really needs the help.
Yeah, exactly.
But if they go to Raw and DIY goes to SmackDown, there's still help on SmackDown.
Well, here's the thing about that. Here's the thing about this whole thing is that they're sending him to Raw because they really like the Revival.
They beat the New Day.
They beat the New Day in their debut match. I love that. Because it means we're going to get a lot of really, like, they're going to push the Revival. And who doesn't love that? That's fantastic.
Imagine in 6 months or 8 months, Hardy's Revival feud. We have, especially if they kind of push more of the broken Matt Hardy stuff, have him counter the Revival, a throwback to the old tag teams like the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
That would be great.
No, it'd be great. I mean, you have to realize SmackDown's tag division is garbage. So I'm not necessarily sure I want the Revival floating around garbage.
Yeah, because they could bring the division up, which I think would happen because they're that good. They're that good. I love
or what? Or what?
Or they could essentially wrestle the level of their competition.
Exactly.
I don't think that'd be the case because the Revival are badass and awesome and great. I think they would elevate the division.
Mm-hmm.
But only so much of that is in their hands.
Yeah.
Because American Alpha are great, too. They're great wrestlers. They put on great matches.
Yeah.
As we saw in NXT, they have the capability of doing interesting quality promos.
Yeah.
They just haven't been given the opportunity on SmackDown yet.
Right. All right. The Undisputed YouTube Game Review Champion, TGX. First-time patron, thank you. Now that The Undertaker's career is, for all intents and purposes, over, what do you think is his most underrated and overrated feuds? I think we're going to do a count out on this, aren't we?
We're going to do a
best Mania match.
Best Undertaker or Mania matches because, you know, he's so synonymous and his streak was so synonymous with WrestleMania.
Some of his...
I might say the same feud because it lasts as long for both. Kane.
Yeah.
I think his early feud with Kane, if you go back to it, maybe all the matches weren't fantastic, but it was a good feud.
A lot of great story, a lot of crap matches, some decent matches.
Yeah, but then they went back to that well a lot.
Yeah, they did.
So I'll say that.
Yeah. The TGX here points out Rey Mysterio from 2009, 2010. He had a really good feud with Edge.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
One
of his worst feuds was with the Giant Gonzalez.
Boss Man. Their Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania is atrocious.
Jay Thunder. First time patron here, or first time submitting a question. I think you guys will agree with me when I say that Sami Zayn needs to go to SmackDown Live and next week's Superstar Shakeup. He even mentioned that this week.
He did.
The question is, how do you book him to undo the damage from the last 9 months? Oh, I don't think that Sami Zayn is impervious to damage. His whole gimmick is he's bad wrestler.
Losing wrestler.
Yeah.
The one piece is real. Where does this WrestleMania rank amongst the best? Middle of the pack.
Yeah, I'd say distinctly.
But we haven't finished watching the broadcast yet.
That's true.
Live, middle of the pack.
I would say not top 10, not bottom 10.
Middle of the pack.
But yeah.
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 Ups and downs. Good.
Mm-hmm.
But very rarely great.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Robert Shaw's personal fishing line tester. That's a great name.
Yeah, it is.
That's really good. Hello, friendos. First time patron and first time asking a question. Thank you very much. Just want to say that I've been watching your content for a little over a year now, and I enjoy it so much that I had to help chip in.
Thank you.
You have single-handedly reinvigorated my love for pro wrestling, so thank you. Here is my question. Now that Randy Orton is a new WWE champion, see, they're bringing up this match again.
Okay.
Do you see his reign lasting for a while, say SummerSlam, or do you see him being a transitional champion? Personally, with a superstar shakeup looming next week, I could see Finn Balor heading over to SmackDown.
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope.
And possibly challenging for the WWE title. I know it's only been one Raw, but they seem to have the Universal title picture figured out with Brock Lesnar and Roman, then possibly Strowman afterwards. I think it'd be the other way around, Strowman first. Then it seems like they're probably going to just set up Reigns, but not have it until Mania.
Mm-hmm.
That would make the most sense. This leaves Finn in limbo without much to do. I can see Finn being a supernatural type character, fitting in nicely with Orton in the Orton Wyatt feud. Just my opinion. Thank you again. Finn is going to be very much in play for the U.S. title, which is going to be week to week the top belt on Raw.
Yep,
I agree. And probably SummerSlam, he'll get the United States title.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Orton, I have no clue how long he's going to have that belt. If he only has it for like a couple months, it's really going to crap on the whole feud with Wyatt even more. Because then it's like, what's the point of even doing it?
I think he'll have it till SummerSlam, dude.
Probably.
It's not that far away.
It's 4 months, I know.
Yeah, so he'll have it till SummerSlam.
But if he drops it in June at Money in the Bank or something like that, it's going to be like, what's the point of all this?
I think, I don't know, man. Look, how long have they been mixing it up so far since...
Wyatt Norton?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. If he loses it to anybody other than Wyatt.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think he's going to drop it to Wyatt at SummerSlam.
Could be.
I think this, I'm hoping, because look at how strong they've booked the Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
And you think that they're not thinking Bray Wyatt is strong.
Didn't Orton kick out of a Sister Abigail during the match last night?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. But he's Randy Orton. Vince loves him. I don't know. I could totally see them giving it to Bray back at
SummerSlam. I hope so.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah. For our 200th episode,
that's it.
Yes.
We want to say thank you. He already said thank you at the beginning.
Thank you very
much. And I kind of piggybacked on that thank you. But yeah, I mean, it's been...
You can say it again because I don't... I mean, it's a situation where we can I don't think we can say it enough.
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, the opportunity that we've gotten the last year are all due to the support of everybody who watches and listens to the show. And it's very, 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 very much appreciated. And
yep.
So thank you very much.
Yep. And I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't show it.
I think I do.
I'm just joking. You totally show it.
Good.
I love you, man.
I love you, too.
Anyways, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.